10, 1 Kings chapter number 10, and I want to give you a thought that's upon our heart tonight. And I was thinking about this earlier this week, and got home this evening, and just felt that this would be the direction that we ought to go, and want to look at maybe not a familiar passage to many of us, but maybe kind of a more obscure passage maybe to some, but want to look at 1 Kings chapter number 10 tonight, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13 this evening. We'll begin our reading there. The Bible said in 1 Kings chapter number 10 and verse number 1, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. When the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices, very great store and precious stones. And there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought it in from Ophir, great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord, and for the king's house, harps also, and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, that you are supreme. Lord, you are everlasting. Lord, you are almighty tonight. Lord, we thank you, Father, for who you are. Lord, we thank you also, Lord, for what you do for us each and every day. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life. Lord, above all of that, Lord, we thank you, God, for the gift of eternal life that we have through Jesus Christ, your Son, and our Savior tonight. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come, Lord, to the house of God tonight. Lord, I'm glad, as it was said, Lord, we can enjoy the church. We can enjoy coming to the house of God. We don't have to endure it. We don't have to tolerate it. We don't have to put up with it tonight. But, Lord, it's a joy, God, to be able to come together with the saints of God, and, Lord, to magnify your name and to lift you up and sing praises unto you, Lord. And, God, we're thankful, Lord, that the church is, Lord, indeed a model for what's going to take place in eternity one day, and where Christ is at the very center. Lord, you are the light of that city, and Lord, we'll worship you, give you all the honor and glory and praise, Lord, that's due to your name. God will be like you, Lord, and we're thankful for that day. We're looking forward to it. But Lord, tonight I pray, Lord, until we get to heaven, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us a little heaven to go to heaven on. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, that you would excite us about the things of God, and Lord, that you would encourage our hearts and draw us closer to yourself. And Lord, we'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Lord, if there's one here tonight, God, that's not heard of your greatness and heard of your goodness, Lord, may tonight be the night that they come under conviction, Lord, that they're drawn to the foot of Calvary, and Lord, that they're saved, Lord, before it's everlasting too late. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. We ask these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen And amen. When we come to 1 Kings chapter number 10, it becomes very apparent to us that we are in the midst of the wealth and the fame of King Solomon's reign. Now, there are several things that are noteworthy to speak of, some good and some bad, concerning Solomon tonight, and three things that I guess we could say that would touch his rule and touch his life, of course, is his wealth. That's displayed before us here in the chapter. And then, of course, the women that Solomon was married to and the concubines that he had. But there's great wisdom that was given to him by God simply because he asked and he prayed. It's amazing that he did not ask for more power. He did not ask for more wealth. He did not ask for more influence. But given the opportunity there before the Lord tonight, he asked for wisdom, and God granted that wisdom to him, and that wisdom was exercised there in the kingdom. Now, the Bible opens in chapter number 10 with this Queen of Sheba. She, of course, is a foreign ruler, and she hears of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, and she came to prove him with hard questions tonight. Amen. I think that's an interesting statement tonight. She herself was a person of means and a person of influence. She had power and she had authority. She had ability and she had many great things at her disposal. But there was one greater than her, and of course that was King Solomon. And she comes, the Bible says, in verse number 1, to come to prove him with hard questions. In other words, she came to quiz him. She came to try to trip him up. She tried to come with the difficulties and the issues of life and lay those things before King Solomon tonight. And the Bible calls them tonight hard questions. Just like the Queen of Sheba tonight, maybe it's not exactly in this sense, but you know, there are some questions in life that I'm familiar with. There are some things that we don't exactly have the answer for. There are some pieces that don't exactly fit together when we try to take inventory and lay everything out. Sometimes there are things in life and they don't turn out exactly the way that you thought that they would. Sometimes there are things that come out of nowhere and they'll enter into your life and you simply do not know what you're going to do. And there are some questions that you have for the Lord. There are some questions that you have concerning life. There are some questions that you have concerning your present situation that you simply cannot come with an answer, and you come to the Lord with some hard questions in your life tonight. Amen. I'm just glad tonight that as the Queen of Sheba came and she found some answers tonight for the hard questions that she had for Solomon, I'm glad that there is some help for the hard questions in our life. That's the thought that we want to give you tonight on help for the hard questions. You may find yourself in the situation that the Queen of Sheba was in, but she comes and she begins to question Solomon. And the Bible says in verse number 2 that she came to Jerusalem with a very great train. She brought her caravan. She brought her servants. She brought her people with her, with camels and bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. Almost as if she tries to come and make an impression upon Solomon. But the Bible says in verse number 2, and when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. She was enchanted by him. She was almost entranced by his splendor and by his wisdom. And the Bible says in verse number 3, and Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her. Hey, she got more than she bargained for tonight. Amen. She left with more than what she came for tonight. Amen. And as she comes to Solomon, the first thing I noticed tonight that she found and that she was amazed by is, number 1, she was amazed by his wisdom tonight there in verses 2 and 3 that we mentioned tonight. Amen. She hears of the fame concerning his wisdom. Amen. Just how wise was this king? How wise was this man? Well, he is attributed with 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 psalms. Amen. Here this woman is. She has every temporal and every carnal desire. She had anything that she desired that she could put her hand to, anything that her eye fell upon under her rule, she could have it and it could be hers. Amen. But with all of the wealth that the world could offer, everything that she had at her disposal, there was still a void tonight. Amen. There were still some questions that we have, and indeed they were hard questions. There were some things that she couldn't put together. There were some questions that she had seemingly had no answer tonight. And can I tell you tonight that a sinner will never come and seek after the Savior until they are conscious of their need tonight. A sinner never realizes the need for a Savior until they realize that they are a sinner. Until they realize that there is a void, there is a sense of incompletion in their heart, in their mind tonight. But can I tell you this, that it's no different for Christians. It's no different for the believer tonight. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm part of the church. I'm redeemed. I'm justified. I've been made whole. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Hallelujah. And I have all of those things at my disposal. But if you do not cultivate your relationship with God, and you go to the world and you try to find happiness and try to hold hands with the world and hold hands with God. Listen, friendship with the world is enmity with God tonight. And the reason that so many Christians are miserable is because they're trying to find their validation and their satisfaction and their contentment in this world. Can I tell you tonight, you'll never be happy as a child of God trying to live for yourself and trying to live for the world tonight. Amen. There is a movement within our religious circles tonight that tries to express the idea that you can hold hands with God and hold hands with the world, and that is just not something that lines up with this Bible tonight, friend. Amen. Boy, we need the wisdom of God to make it in this hour. We need the wisdom of God to be what God desires for us to be, whether it just be a Christian trying to make it in the world, whether it's a father or a mother, or just trying to be a good employee tonight, or the preacher that I need to be, or the Sunday school teacher that God desires me to be tonight. But we need the wisdom of God to make those decisions and to have our movement in this world. Amen. Job chapter number 9 and verse number 4 says, he is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered tonight. Amen. Solomon wrote that book of Proverbs. I believe that many of it was written in the prime of his life. And he had all of that wisdom that God gave him. And boy, that wisdom was exercised and it was written down for his children and written down for other generations. And thank God tonight for the book of Proverbs. We can take our Christianity and we can put it in shoe leather tonight, and we can have our being in this world. We can conduct business. We can raise our children. We can be successful in our marriage and be successful in our dealings with other people because of the wisdom that God imparted to Solomon and gave it to him tonight. Amen. Job said again in Job 9 and verse number 10, he said, he doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Isaiah 55 and verse number 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Romans 11 in verse number 33 says, oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how searchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Well, I'm telling you, God has a way of doing things in our life. We may not understand it then. Like I said, we may not be able to put all of the pieces together, but boy, we can look back after we come through the storm, or we come through the difficulty, or we come through that trial in life. Thank God we can see what God was doing all along. wrong, and we realize tonight that His ways indeed were higher than ours tonight. Amen. The Bible makes it very clear to us that God's wisdom is beyond our own. Trials come and we don't understand. Heartache that is beyond our reasoning. Problems that are too difficult for us to serve tonight. And just like the Queen of Sheba, we come with hard questions. Psalms chapter number 61, verse number 2 says, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Humble yourself and ask for God's help tonight. Amen. Stop trying to trust in your own self. Let loose of the steering wheel of your life, if you will, and let God have full control tonight. Amen. Oftentimes we'll try to solve our own problems and do our own thing. And it's like we're saying, "God, I'm good. I love you. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. But this little area right here, I've got it taken care of." And boy, God will let us fall flat on our face and realize time and time again that we need His wisdom and we need His help. Aren't you glad tonight, as David cried, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I." Boy, I'm glad to tell you tonight that there's somebody bigger than your problems. There's somebody bigger than the issues of life. That bad report from the doctor and that news that we can't understand, and the things that we can't put together. Well, I'm glad that there is one that is enthroned who knoweth our frame, and He remembers that we are but dust, and He knows what we have need of tonight before we ever even ask Him. That problem that has blown your mind and gotten you confused and gotten you perplexed and pushed into a corner tonight, listen, God saw it before it ever manifested in your life, and you're in His watch care. And there's not one thing that the devil or the world or the flesh has done in your life that it's not slid across the desk of God that He's allowed to take place in your life. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said it like this. He said that His sovereignty is my sanity tonight. Amen. Resting in God's control and resting in God's wisdom when we can't put everything together. She came to prove Him with hard questions tonight, and she told him, she communed with Him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all questions, and there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. We see His wisdom tonight. But then, not only was she amazed at His wisdom, she was amazed at His wealth tonight. Look with me in verse number 4 and 5. The Bible said, "And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." She saw His wisdom, but she saw His wealth. Amen. The income that Solomon had in 1 year, not counting his other businesses, ventures like stables and vineyards, and so this is just what he had there before her. This wasn't everything that he had. This wasn't all of his possessions tonight. Amen. And I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight, but listen, our God has great wealth tonight. Amen. Listen, you just have these 66 books, and that's wonderful tonight. Look at the blessings that you've got in your life. Oh, but listen to me. When we get to that golden shore, when we get to heaven, listen, I think there are going to be things that we couldn't handle down here, things that we couldn't fathom, things that we could not comprehend of the great wealth that our God has. And when she saw these things, look what the Bible says at the end of verse number 5. There was no more spirit in her. Now, she may have come to try to trip Him up. She may have come to try to put all of her things on display and come and lay it all out before Solomon and in some kind of way to somehow impress Him tonight. Amen. But He wasn't impressed with what she had. Everything she had, he had 100 more, amen. Everything that she had was way nicer, amen. She pulled the Mercedes-Benz in, and he had a Rolls-Royce, amen. Listen, she had the fossil watch, and he had the Rolex tonight, amen. She come in there with George Washington's, and he was rolling deep in Benjamin's tonight, amen. Thank God, listen, his bank account was full. He had great wealth, and it blew her mind tonight, amen. I have not seen, nor has ear heard, of the things that God has in store for them that love him tonight. Oh, you think you're blessed now. You think you're doing good now. Honey, the half hadn't been told. Just look at what our God has. Just look at the possibilities. Just look at who he is and realize that his great wealth is vast and it's endless tonight. Amen. What did she find? Well, I believe that she found the gold of grace. I believe she found the pearls of pardon. I believe she found the riches of redemption. I believe she found the sapphires of salvation. And she found the diamonds of devotion. Amen. Listen, that man that she saw and his great wealth was nothing like she'd ever seen. I'm here to tell you tonight, child of God, we get all of this in heaven too. We get salvation and grace in our heart and the Holy Ghost living on the inside. Brother Sammy used to say, don't get excited now, but you're just going to live as long as God lives. Amen. Hey, I'm glad tonight that I'm not working to it and I'm not working for it and I don't have to earn it, but I am a possessor of all things in heaven and earth because I am a joint heir with Christ tonight. Amen. If we would just realize what we had in him, boy, we wouldn't get the mully grubs like we do. We wouldn't get the pooch mouth like we do. We wouldn't walk around depressed, having to be propped up all of the time. Listen, I'm telling you, he's a good God, and he's worthy to serve, and he's worthy to be praised tonight. I have no sad reports. I have no sad stories to tell. God has been so good to me. He's been far better to me than what I could ever deserve. Not only did he save me, but he thank God he called me to preach, and he put me in the ministry, and he hooked me up with the church, and he let me march to Zion with the people of God tonight. Hallelujah. The Queen of Sheba was willing to take this journey on the premise of skepticism. Amen. She was skeptical that all of this wealth should come from another country. Amen. She was willing to take that journey on the premise of skepticism. I was watching Billy Kelly the other day. And if you've never looked this up on YouTube, you need to, it'd do you good to watch it. They ought to sell this as a course in Bible college. But it's Billy Kelly, The Life of a Country Preacher. And you can pull it up on YouTube and you can watch it. And old Billy Kelly got to talking about when he was saved. He lost that ball game and he got dog drunk and he was up there in the top of that pool hall and them guys out there passing out tracts for that evangelism campaign came to some guy and he said, yeah, I can't go to the revival, but he said, Red Kelly's up there in that room and he's passed out dog drunk and if you can get him to go to the revival meeting, there's no telling what God may do. So those men got Brother Billy and they took him down to the, there was a bench on the street there and they began to try to sober him up and eventually they got to talking to him and asked him to go to the revival meeting. And he said he came up with all of these excuses. And he said, then the big one hit me. He said, and my girlfriend ain't going to let me go because I got a date with her. And they said, well, let's just go call her. And so they went down to the payphone and they called her and they said, we'd like to take him to revival. And she said, Lord, if he's going to revival, take him on. Amen. And he said that he was up there in the high seats up there and he about passed out. It was so hot. He said he didn't know what the preacher said, but that choir got to singing, amen, and the glory of God, oh boy, that he went to school with, and he put his arm around him, and he said, hey, they called him Red Kelly, and he said, Red, if you die tonight, where are you going? And he looked at that old boy. He said, I'm going to the same place you going. I'm going to hell, you old hypocrite. And that boy welled up tears in his eyes, and he said, Red, if you die, you may go to hell, but you ain't going going where I'm going. He said, I got saved last night. And he said that choir began to sing. And that old boy said, Red, just stick your foot out and God will meet you halfway. And old brother Billy Kelly, he sat there and under conviction. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm just going to stick my foot out just to get him off my back. He said, I stuck my foot out and the oven was a following it. Amen. He walked that aisle and he got gloriously born again. You say, what are you talking about tonight? I'm talking about a man of God that was greatly used by God. He was real, real skeptical about Jesus. He was real, real skeptical about the things of God. But he stuck his foot out and he couldn't just help but take God at his word. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you're lost without Christ, listen, just trust him. Just try him. Just prove him and see if he won't bless you. See if he won't save your soul from hell. See if he won't turn your life around. See if he won't prove himself tonight. Amen. He's a wonderful Savior tonight. Amen. Our lives tonight should suggest that what we possess in Christ does not naturally occur in this world, but that what you and I possess tonight, the great wealth that we have, comes from another country. The world ought to look at us and there ought to be a distinction about us tonight. Amen. This woman left different. As things that she had never seen, things that she had never known. Why? Because she met Solomon tonight. Amen. Paul talks in Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 8 about the unsearchable riches of Christ tonight. Amen. We will never exhaust and we will never expend his riches tonight. Amen. Lastly, I see this. We not only see his wisdom, we see his wealth. But then we see his worth. Look with me in verse number 7. The Bible said, howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. What about that? Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord. Now here it is. She glorified God because of what she saw. Up to this point, it's been pretty good for Solomon because she's talked about his wealth and she's talked about his wisdom and she's just been amazed at what she saw. But she got to the right place in verse number 9. She said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made thee king to do judgment and justice. So what did she do? She gave to him tonight there in verse number 9 and verse number 10. She got to see other people coming and giving to him there in verse number 11 and verse number 12. And then he in turn gives to her tonight. Amen. Understand that when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you give your life to God, it's not a one-way street tonight. Amen. He's not an austere Lord that just demands tonight. Listen, aren't you glad that we don't serve Allah tonight? Amen. Aren't you glad that we don't serve the Muslim God that demands that you give your sons and your daughters for the glory of Allah? Oh, but I'm glad tonight that the God of heaven, he's a just God and he's a loving God and he's far greater than any of the gods of this world. He did not require our sons and daughters for his glory, but knowing and understanding that we could not glorify God in ourselves, God saw us in our low estate and he did not demand our sons and daughters, but he willingly came and he donned a robe of flesh and he lived a perfect sinless life and gave his life for those whom he knew could give nothing to him in return. But if you'll give your life to him, he'll turn around and he'll give to you abundantly. And your wildest dreams of serving God, like Brother Lamar talked about, they can come true tonight. Amen. We're not charismatic. We're not Pentecostal tonight. We don't just give a social gospel that God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. No, there is difficulty. But I'm glad that there is help for the hard questions. I'm glad there is help for the difficulty tonight. Amen. What was the great prosperity? There was wisdom and prosperity that exceeded everything that she had heard. There were people, happy are thy men, happier are these thy servants. Amen. You know, I want to say a word about this very quickly tonight. These men were happy. They didn't say, well, you know, we're serving Solomon and we can take it or leave it. You know what lukewarm Christians are tonight? Lukewarm Christians tonight are an alibi for the world. They're an alibi for Satan. They're an alibi for carnality tonight. Amen. Because if you're not happy tonight, and I'm not saying you've got to be jovial and bubbly all the time, but at least smile and act like you're happy to be alive tonight. Amen. And that person that you work with at the next station, or that clerk at the counter, or that lost loved one might actually want what you have tonight, because he makes you happy, right? He gives you joy tonight. Amen. She got lost in his worth. The test of our gratitude to God is seen in what we can give him tonight. We have nothing to give him in salvation but ourselves. But aren't you glad he equips us tonight? He gives us great ability. He gives us our time, our talent, and our treasures. Thank God we can gladly give that back to him and render those and use those things for his service tonight. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 42. I'll give you this. I'm done. Jesus said, "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Solomon's wealth is wonderful. His wisdom is